Hey everybody, it's John. A reminder to check out stealthisbeard.com. Not only can you sign up for our newsletter, which Justin and I put minimal effort into each and every week, and you can find out what's happening on the show, but you can also get an archive of all of our shows and buy some of our stellar merchandise, which includes glassware. You can now buy black glasses just like us on the show. You can get our old Tiku glasses and a variety of t-shirts. So go to stealthisbeard.com to check out all of that and maybe more.
Steal This Beer, a candid weekly discussion about beer, over beer, by a couple of guys that think about beer way too much.
All right, hey y'all, it's 5 o'clock on Monday and we are stealing beer. I am Augie Carton.
Hello, I'm John Hall.
Hey John.
Welcome back to our continuing election 2020 coverage from the Steal This Beer News headquarters.
You know how I can tell Kennedy's a good producer?
How's that?
Yeah, what? Well,
I watch the various news shows I've been clicking through all week.
Yeah.
And nobody's thought to change the headler on any of the channels from election night 2020. And I'm like, this is what Kennedy would do and John and I would yell at him.
So you're just saying I'm on par with all these.
You're perfect. But I'm talking like CNN, NBC, Fox.
Yeah, CNN has been calling it election day five. And it's like, that's not.
But they had to change the header. Like at some point, it officially became if it gets to election fortnight and they haven't changed it, I feel like they've missed great opportunities here.
The other part of it, it's almost like Saturday Night Live, where it's a 90-minute show and most of the show takes place on Sunday.
All right. Anyway, so another thing Kennedy did that I just can't believe is so perfect is if I can stay on topic. I think he's gotten us the most amazing guest we could possibly have for this Saturday recording of our Monday at 5 show. And that person is Mike Fava. How are you, sir?
How's it going, guys?
Really good. Nice to have you back.
Yeah, nice to hear your voice.
6.5 centuries ago, when we could sit at tables with people, we sat at a table with you at Captain Lawrence.
Yeah, festival times.
And I remember
the
having...
before times.
I remember having really good beers with you. Anyway, hold on. Sorry about that. But the reason I think Kennedy really nailed your guestship is you touch on everything I think matters this week. One, you've got Philly past. Two, you are a man who I consider the most patient brewer in America, being a guy who specializes in real saisons and lagers. Like if this week has required anything, it's knowledge of Philly and patience. And then there you are. How you feeling? What do you want to talk about? What's going on in the Oxbow world this fucking week when nobody can figure out what to say or do?
Well, in this week, you already touched on it. We really take our time with the beers, which we've had to do since March, but we've been doing for almost 10 years. Our fastest turnaround beer, which we do consider fast, is 6 weeks. So again, yeah, this week's all about patience. And we already have it. We're trained in it every day. So
yeah, I was actually going to, so when he told me you were coming on, I was like, you know what a fun guy to talk to. Cause, and when you say 6 weeks, is that your saison or your lager, which is faster for you?
The lagers are actually faster because we do package.
Clearly.
We package all of our saisons and farmhouse sales are 100% bottle conditioned. So at the time of package, they then have to go through re-fermentation before we release it. So that adds production time.
Yeah. So there's 6 plus 6.
Yeah.
Wow. God bless you. Anyway, when 2020, like as 2020 wears on and breaks my soul and I don't know what to do with it, I keep thinking about patience. I had this great babysitter for my kids when they were like 2 and 3. And she had this great trick where she'd be like, show me what patience looks like. And they would quickly sit down and fold their hands and get quiet. I was like, that's amazing. And when I think about Oxbow, I think about show me what patience looks like. So I wanted to talk about that. And then it ended up being this week. And being a guy who spent a lifetime in the left lane behind Philadelphia, taking 2 weeks to do what should take 20 minutes, I was like, oh, we should hit on that too. Anyway, let's talk about the whole season of 2020 torture, a year of Tuesdays. You guys were always way ahead of spreading the beer as far around as you could and not living on the to-the-door model, but you have a to-the-door model, and you obviously don't need to flip the tanks every 2 weeks to pay your rent. Has this year been okay on you guys? Are there different problems for your kind of situation that we wouldn't know about?
Yeah, obviously there's hardships for everyone, but one thing we were really lucky on, which we've already mentioned, is the amount of time it takes for our beer in tanks and how stable it is post-packaging. We have a really long shelf life on most of our beers, which is great. I think the biggest hardships have been we do have three locations in Maine, all with retail elements that obviously draft beer and drinking beers face-to-face with people and serving people took a big dive. We were a 60% draft beer brewery, and obviously draft beer doesn't exist, so a lot more packaging and finding solutions and package formats to put beers in has been a fun and good challenge. Those are the two biggest things. I think we're really lucky with the styles of beer that we are making and have been making, have really gave us a little bit of an advantage where we're not chasing freshness and worried about things going out of code as much as the next brewery.
Right. Yeah, I can't imagine being like, oh my God, I missed my window on that Oxbow Saison in my cellar, right? Like, I would drink it. I'm not like John Hall. I don't have an 8-year limit on my Orval. I can wait 10.
Yeah,
you mean I don't buy them before they turn 8 years old, and then yeah.
That's when you really dig in deep.
You age with purpose, John. That's right.
And certainly not forgetfulness.
Considered aging.
we're really transparent with our packaging. We are very proud. We put our production time, total production time, right on the front. Our packaged on date and the enjoy within how many X amount of years, months. So we want to calculate that out. A lot of it is certainly, you know, most of our barrel aged mixed fermentation beers, we're putting 5 years on them, and a lot of the brands we haven't been making for 5 years. So there is some educated guess, but we do go by ABV and pH and past knowledge. And we're always tasting beers. We have an awesome QC panel where we taste some vintage beers and try to check back in on those claims. And we're like, all right, cool. That still tastes really good. So I think we're lucky in that sense in the beers that we are making have a low pH and they are very stable for a long period of time.
Nice.
Yeah. No doubt. So actually, let me ask you a different question, because when you say put production time on, because I have a little side part of what we do where if it's working perfectly, I'm blending, you know, stuff that we've been parking for blending from like 2 years ago, last year, last week, and let's put some of this in, let's put some of this in, let's see how it tastes. And it's almost always saisons or mixed ferment at least. When you're evaluating your package time for some, first of all, are you blending similar amount of times? And when you do, how do you assess that time? You know what I mean? Is it the median? Is it the longest? Is it the newest? You know what I mean? How does the blend come together?
We're definitely putting in a lot of different threads as far as age of the beers, which is awesome and adds to the complexity. And if we need something with a little more acid, a little more barrel character, we're able to pull from an older stock. When we are assessing production time, we definitely do put in the oldest beer as long as it is at least a quarter of the full blend. We have a little bit of a qualifier there. We're not going to put in 1 gallon of 5-year-old beer into a 15-barrel batch.
This is our oldest beer.
There is a little bit of, you know, we will rule something out if we end up putting a very small amount of something aged in there. But yeah, it's a fun, blending is obviously a fun thing. Sounds like you have your hands in it at your brewery. It's really cool expanding that palette of flavors for sure.
Well, I think for the kind of beers you're trying to make, it matters because it's what gives you consistency and longevity, right? Like you can blend for consistency at some point, but if you want to have a 5-year beer, like your ambition is, giving it some depth to grow into at the beginning, you know, some root for everything else to find along the path is a hopeful way to do that. Does that make sense what I'm saying?
For sure. And I totally get that. And I think the opposite is true as well. I think just in our lives, it's nice to get a little breath of youth in there to help the longevity and wake up some of the flavors and give them a little brightness and a little food to chew on over time.
Yeah. All right, so we should get into glass one. And John, I'm about to try to pull a triple Lindy and land this this conversion to glass one.
Do it, Dangerfield.
You ready for this? Because what I wanted to talk about was, besides the fact that
clearly, what brings us together?
No, but I was going to say, clearly as Faba, it's not just the thing that he's patient and likes to take 6 weeks for his lagers and his saisons and then bottle ferment them, but I see a similarity in the two profiles when they're done really well between a good classic lager and a good classic saison. And then I start drinking this beer Kennedy sent us, and I can't tell if it's a lager or a saison.
Yeah.
So what brings us together on Steal This Beer is a candid conversation about beer, what it is and what it's doing, not what we thought it would do or hoped it would. To facilitate this, we drink blind out of black glasses. In the days of COVID, so Fab, you've been on the show, you know this, but typically Mike would have brought us beers. They wouldn't be his and we'd be tasting them blind. But nowadays, Kennedy manages, I'd say, 2 out of 100 times to get us and the guests all the same beer, which he obfuscates in various forms of artisanal foil.
And electrical and, tape. And I electrical have some masking tape and some Sharpie involved. On mine right now.
Yeah. I've got black electric tape on beer too. Beer one, I had to roll the corner down to get it to pour because the foil was completely, I couldn't tell what was the top when I first pulled it out.
Sorry about that, guys. I was really trying to hide it.
You were super ambitious this week.
I'm back, by the way. Sorry, my doorbell rang at the beginning of the show. And I had.
You know what's funny is I heard it, and it's been so long since I've been in a city apartment. It took me 3 minutes to deduce that it had to be you. I was like, who's got it? And then I was like, that only exists in cities, so it can't be Mike, me, or John.
Yeah.
But anyway, so right now we are all drinking out of foil-wrapped 12-ounce can. John and I from Black Glasses. And Fabio, you have the same beer in front of you, right?
I do, yeah. Got shipped to me, which is great. It is still intact in the foil. Has a number one written on it.
You could find the pull tab through your foil?
I can, yeah. The bottom's completely covered, but I can see the pull tab. And I did bring a coffee mug.
Oh, good.
So I will not be able to see
it. Right along. Yeah. Fully committed.
All right, so come on, triple Lindy us up.
All right, well, I did. That was the transition. The beauty of a Pilsner Saison similarity in both patience and style and when executed well. And then, so this thing smells to me like classic fucking, you know, mixed ferment yeast. Like it might have even been cool shipped. But it drinks like a Pilsner. There's a little tiny bit of fruitiness. So here's the other thing that's making me think Saison. There's a tannin structure to it, like some wood was involved. Some kind of tannin edge to the outsides, but it's like softly fruity, pretty clean, and dry. Pilsner dry almost all the way to Saison dry.
There's a really
like
nice
the nose is all like Belgian, you know what I mean? Like farmhouse yeast.
Yeah.
Ferment. What about you?
There's something really nice about the low carbonation on this as well. That makes it sort of easy drinking. Like it's almost like a table beer in some ways. Like I'd like this out of a, you know, like a pitcher or something where you just sort of, you know, pass it around the table at a cafe or something. But there is that nice fruitiness to it. It's very subtle. There's like this tiny bit. You're talking about tannins. I get almost like a little bit of like a honey robustness to it. Okay. That gives it just a little, without that perceived quality, if it's there, this would be a super watery beer.
Right,
because there's not a ton of body to this, but that sort of honey quality gives it a little bit of a, I don't know, just like a little bit of personality. Mike, what about you? What are you getting off of this?
Yeah, right out of the gate, I got a lot of kind of pastel colored aromas, if you will. Some stone fruit.
Oh, we will.
Yeah, the nose really intrigued me, almost like it would be a Brett beer. But then you get into it, it is a little cleaner, but super dry, easy drinking. I don't know what that stone fruit quality is, whether it's from fermentation. But yeah, it definitely leads me to believe it's more on the farmhouse side of things because of how dry it is.
What was that beer that we had from Allagash on the show a while back that had, it was like a lager with Brett in it?
Wasn't it called like Hiker beer or something?
There was Tenpenny Pilsner, I think it's called.
Okay.
Wasn't there one about like day hiking or something? Because now that John has said that, this could definitely be that beer.
River is one of them.
But I want to get back, River Trip, that's the one I think I'm thinking of. But okay. I want to get back to Mike's note, because there's a thing I can't put my finger on that is like, you know when you get a fresh habanero and besides the habanero thing, there's like that banana peach flavor to it? You know what I mean? Do you know that fruity part of a habanero? Mm-hmm. So it's like that aroma, but with no heat or capsicum or any pepper notes. So that's why I ruled it out. But when Mike said stone fruit, it brought it back to me. And it's, you know what I mean? It's like when you're tasting good, you know, Scotch bonnets and you get the fruit outside the heat. It's like,
that's interesting.
You know what I mean?
You're going really deep on this. This is such a simple beer, but like you're going really deep on it. I dig that.
It asks you to go deep.
Where do you guys want to drink this?
It's classy. That's a good question. I want to drink it on a strangely 67 degree Saturday in the woods in New Jersey on my back porch and keep reminding myself that if I finish it, I'm changing the profile of the day I promised my children. It's tasty. I hope it's super low ABV, because if it is, it's going to be a good 12 pack.
It must be, because mine's disappearing really fast.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean it's low, and then we all regret it. And then everybody's like, fucking Augie. And that's
strap in, Curtin kids. It's going to be another weekend of disappointment.
Fava, where would you drink this? Because I feel like this definitely goes in Maine. Like, I feel like you could just walk outside and be in the right place for this beer.
For sure. I want to be on a rocky coast, shucking some oysters and washing them down with this, for sure.
Ooh, that, yeah.
I want to be with Mike.
Yeah, I want to be with Mike.
If because I had salt, a dollar.
Salt, but what I like about what Mike did is salt would really help this beer. Like, if you were eating really salty food, like even really good Belgian fries, you know what I mean? Like, salt would make this thing fucking, a 12-pack of this wouldn't stand a chance.
So I pulled this beer. I pulled this beer from the hard seltzer section of my bodega.
Is this seltzer?
No, it's not. It's actually this is from Allagash.
Oh my god! If this was seltzer, I'd all of a sudden be a seltzer maker.
This is from Allagash. It's called Little Grove. They call it a sparkling ale, session ale with peach and kombucha.
Wow!
Kombucha,
peach. Yeah.
So peach is the stone fruit you're getting, and it's 3.6 alcohol, so you're good.
Oh, so it's safe. I'm a shotgun this motherfucker.
Oh. Look, it's a pastel can, too.
Doing the great fine reveal.
Oh, yeah, it is pastel. Good job, Bobby. You knew the marketing by smell.
Nice.
You'll find refreshment wherever there's a little grove, our lightly tart sparkle ale with peaches and kombucha. So kombucha is tea, right?
Yeah.
So maybe that's the tannin?
Getting some of that SCOBY.
Could be.
Isn't it pronounced SCOBY? Like dooby dooby doo? Am I saying that wrong?
Scobie? I think it's Scobie.
I believe it's Scobie.
Of course it is.
Yeah, the branding on this is interesting because Allagash is not the prominent thing. It's Little Grove as their is the main font yeah. here.
But it is a hear. Barley product, right? Is yes. it a seltzer?
Like they no, it's do, not a seltzer. It's not
they
a seltzer.
Do mash in. Wait, aren't you right next to these guys? And I know Maine's a huge state, but aren't you right next to these guys? Can't you tell us all this shit?
I am right next to these guys, yeah. But I think this yeah. one, it's pretty new, and I think it's pretty tight-lipped on how it's being produced. But I do know it's a barley product. It's not a
okay.
not a dextrose. Or,
yeah, they're clearly using, if they're not using the Cool Ship, they're clearly using the house yeast on it.
Yeah, it's house stays on mm-hmm. yeast, it says. But
I wonder if they make the kombucha separate and do a blend of a light beer and the kombucha, and that's what's lowering the ABV and adding a lot of that kind of funk and mm-hmm. tartness to it.
That would make a lot of sense, because now that I know it's kombucha and I drink it, it reminds me a lot of Lauren's kombuchas. Mm-hmm. I guess I got to pay more attention to kombucha.
Yeah.
Doesn't Mary's book have a How to Make Kombuchas chapter?
Oh, I'm sure
or
it does.
Fast ferment book.
Yeah,
right, so I'm going to go read that.
Quick ferments or whatever, yeah.
And then,
I'm going to go read that.
What's interesting, though, is we were all sort of dancing around it as well. And like it does have, now that we know what it is, it does have that Allagash DNA to it. You know, yeah, and you all of their beers really do have that sort of, you know, farmhouse soul to them.
Well, when you said Allagash, I went right to one of their other beers, right?
Yeah.
River Trip.
Yeah, I was drinking one of their, they have a Saison Lager hybrid that I was drinking last night. And I don't have any cans in front of me, so I don't remember what
Moselle,
the name of it was. Yeah, yeah. And that's Wait. Kind of fun as well. But that had much more Saison-y character, obviously, than this.
Kennedy.
Yep.
So I'm opening bottle two.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. I've managed to get the electrical tape off. Is there masking tape under the crown cap?
Yeah, because the cap would give it away. So just pop it off as fast as you
can. I did.
Okay.
And I think I got it clean. I see that it's kind of maroon in color. Sorry about that. But I'm much more impressed that once I got it clean, the foil was still taped. You're really, of all your skills, you clearly are. You have a mad, you must be a lot of fun at Christmas.
Oh, Justin, yeah. Justin, how much time during your week do you suppose you spend...
Oh,
tin foil wrapping bottles.
I would say,
Bava, open this beer. This smells good.
I'm trying. I actually thought it was. I thought it was a matte black bottle when I looked at it, but that is electric tape. So give me a minute here.
But the best part is when I got the electric tape. When I got the cap clear, keeping it in its electric tape, it reveals masking tape underneath.
Yeah, the caps on this bottle in bottle four are,
you should go get yourself paid like $80 million a year by Amazon and just make them better at wrapping shit up.
I
want to get back to Oxbow. So if Justin Kennedy was gonna write a 350 word throwaway piece that changes my entire approach to brewing again, and he was going to make it about the Maine lager. What makes a Maine lager a Maine lager?
Oh, for us,
Are there multiple people doing that?
There actually are multiple people. We're a very lucky state in that we are in the correct parallel to both have wonderful barley for malting and to be able to grow hops, and we jumped on that early. I know a lot of breweries in Maine have been supporting those agriculture products, and we just released batch two of what we're calling Maine State Lager, and it's actually a single malt, single hop pale lager, easy drinking, but it's pale malt and Maine Cascade hops, and it's delicious.
Yeah, I haven't had it yet, but I'm aware of it, and people that know I love those kinds of beers keep telling me, you gotta try. So I guess I gotta
try. Yeah, it was really fun. Forever, we're obviously incorporating as much Maine ingredients in our farmhouse ales, but this was really one to showcase it on the lager side of things.
Mm.
Cool. Quality just keeps going up and up for both barley and hops in Maine. It's really cool. It's a good time to be a brewer and to be into using local ingredients.
So do you have a maltster up there too at this point? Or are you breaking down?
We have two maltsters in Maine. One is a grower maltster, which is pretty cool. They kind of stumbled upon it. They're a fifth generation potato farm that was also always growing barley for feed. And there's four sons, awesome dudes. They went to farming school and kind of were really into beer, and they thought when they got out of school they would become a hop farm. And they kept talking to some brewers, and barley kept coming up, and they're like, what do you mean barley? And like, how much of that do you use? And I think, you know, that's when the light bulb went off. They're like, wait a minute, we're already growing this stuff. So they really dug deep into
it. Wait, we have that.
Why put all this infrastructure for hops in?
It's like the, you know, the story of when the group of Japanese businessmen first showed up and started fighting over a bluefin tuna at a dock, and people like, you guys want this stuff?
Yeah, totally.
So let's talk about the whole Oxbow farm, because we've even hatched evil plans among ourselves to come stay in the house and, you know, record with Maine people and do all that. And of course, obviously we've never gotten to it, but how is that faring these days? Have you just let the pigs go wild, or is the fruit still growing? Like, where is the Oxbow farm, and it's part of the Maine agriculture portion of your beer going? Like, how is that coming together?
It's coming together really well. We pretty much kept the course in Newcastle at the brewery, where we do have some cherry trees, a lot of brambles. We grow a lot of raspberries there. And then, as you touched on, the big focus there is growing, raising pigs, of which we've only increased over the years. And we're pretty much at a really good place and a good balance between the fruit trees and the pigs. And then other than that, we're keeping trails. We have mountain bike and cross-country ski trails on the property. And 2 years ago, we bought our third location, which is in Oxford, Maine. And that is even more of a farm, a big sprawling spread where we're really growing a lot of food. And there's a restaurant on site that is a pizza restaurant, among other things. And it's very farm-to-table focused at that location. So that's been a big, as far as farming operations, that's been a big focus over the last 2 years, is developing that.
Mm-hmm. Great. Now, has the limited retail stuff given you guys the time to focus on that, like more time to focus on that? And has that been beneficial for the projects? Have you seen anything jump this year super exciting, or is stuff just still on that kind of patient slope of, we have this many raspberries this year, we need this many next year? You know what I mean? Like, how's that sorting out for division of brain space and labor space?
Yeah, we have not expanded too much, as that's, you know, a lot of resources try to get pumped into the brewery first. And a lot of the farming operation, unfortunately, a lot of things slide to that being a lower priority, since we have a good base right now. So doing any big expansions on that front, unfortunately, fall to the wayside. But the plans keep growing. It's just the the jumping in on them. Like, we're really saving up to put in a couple hoop houses at our Oxford location, just so we can expand the shoulder seasons and get into growing veggies a little further around the calendar year.
Oh, neat. Yeah, when I think of Maine, I think of mostly broccoli and potatoes. So keep doing what you're doing. I like to hear that changing. All right, let's talk about glass two, Mr. Hall.
Please, Mr. Broccoli and Potatoes, you go first.
Do you not know that's Maine what you is where all the broccoli in the world comes from?
So, I just got to jump in real quick. My hood's blowing up. I think they just called it for Biden.
Really?
I don't know if you guys can hear. There's some celebration.
I did hear some ambient noise.
That's so weird, because like, we're recording this 5 o'clock on Monday. So.
Oh, shit. We're way late to the game.
But your neighborhood, well, I guess they still get everything by Western Union Telegram, huh?
That's right, yeah.
Just so you know, Hall texted us like 10 minutes ago that said NBC just called it.
I'm sorry, it's the AP that called it.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, let's hope this leads everybody to a little bit
we'll go over to Cass at the big board in a few minutes to walk us through the stats, but we're not quite ready to call this race yet. But let's talk about Glass 2.
Glass 2 instead of that.
This is weird.
Here's the thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's got all these pretty berry smells, and it even had a little soy on the nose.
Mm-hmm.
But it just tastes like Yoo-hoo.
That's the thing. It's like chocolate milk. It's is this that?
I only had it like once, and that's not a bad thing because I don't think there's any chocolate in it.
I don't know. There's a little bit of a smokiness to it, but like it's like the Yingling Hershey bar.
I've never had that, so I can't.
I had it once, and it tasted exactly like a chocolate drink for kids.
But that's what this beer tastes like.
Yeah, but there is like a little bit of like a roastiness to it.
It's got a lot of nose. It's got a lot of nose, and if I seek around, I can find other stuff. But I'm kind of, Fab, you have it in front of you. As a brewer, I'm trying to think of how the hell, because it feels like a four ingredient beer. If there's actually chocolate in it, then no impression at all. But if they did this without chocolate, I'm trying to put together a recipe in my head that feels like somehow a Belgian something aged out to just show milk chocolate milk. You know what I mean? Like it's got, there's some soy on the nose, so I think it's aged a little bit. It's definitely all malts, but they seem to all come together. It's just nice little Hershey syrup in a, you know, like a egg cream kind of thing.
Totally. It's amazing the chocolate character in this, honestly. And if you told me there was chocolate in it, that would solve everything.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, but I don't think there is.
I think there's a lot of pale chocolate malt in here. Because there's not really roasty notes. It's, you know, a little baker's chocolate, but it is that Hershey's chocolate, like milk chocolate, like you're saying. And the flavor is bursting with it. The aroma, could be maybe swayed. It was, you know, maybe a robust porter or something in the stout family. But yeah, mm-hmm. the flavor of it is just like amazingly chocolate.
I don't know. It just feels.
I don't know. There's some sort of like.
But there's something like.
But it's chewy.
On the nose, it's like
that. That's what I keep sort of going back to. Like there's almost like beyond that dusty chocolate thing. There's almost like a little bit of like a tobacco-y thing.
Okay.
So, but like that's where that chewiness is coming from. So,
Is giving me a million things, which is why I can't figure out why the palate is so. Like I keep going for other stuff, and every time I lean, I'm like, no, it's just milk chocolate.
It's almost like the more I kind of dive into it and I'm thinking about it more, it's almost like whiskey stave aged. Like I'm now starting to get it's almost turning into like fudgy bourbon kind of.
All right. Yeah. I can definitely, I've got some spirit edge to some degree.
Yeah. This is actually turning out to be more fun than I originally thought.
I'm telling you, I think it's going to be amazing because I don't think there's chocolate in it. But I think I got to know. Anyway, we can just keep eating this up, or we can reveal and we can slowly sip on it while we go back to talking about.
Yeah. Doesn't know what it is.
Maine.
Yeah.
Well, have we said where we're drinking it? Because I'm
drinking this in the election headquarters.
This is one of my fucking with your head beers, right? This is one of my I would blind people on this and be like. Yes, I would, you know, pretend it was something we had done where I fermented Yoo-hoo. And then would tell them what they actually were having. All right, let's pull the foil and the...
So this is from Dogfish Head. This is called Campfire Amplifier. It is a s'mores inspired milk stout.
Oh, Sam.
Come on.
S'mores?
S'mores inspired milk stout.
There graham is... cracker, cinnamon, marshmallows with cocoa powder. There it is. And there vanilla is. Beans added.
And smoked malt. It's, I didn't get any smoke on this. But...
So he did no tricks.
Oh, it's a Rausch beer.
It's a Rausch beer.
It's a Rausch beer. Hey, we finally got a Rausch beer on the show. Every time we get a Rausch beer, we drink it before we hit record.
I thought I felt like I was in Bamberg for a minute, but no.
No.
Was it the cinnamon or the graham cracker that really brought you back to Germany?
Oh. Well, bless him for keeping it dignified. None of those were so showy, I thought they were added.
Yeah, it's not a showy beer at all. That's right.
This
not
is some acid trip kind of art on this bottle as well. Yeah,
really,
this is...
That's what caught my eye at first, actually. So.
Justin was tripping balls while he was at it.
Have you been maintaining your election stress with bladder acid, Justin?
Yeah. Microdosing every day, you know. I got to keep things interesting.
That's right. Somehow keep it even. All right. So what else should we know about Oxbow currently and in the future? Tell us stuff. Fava, last time you were on, we just got stuck on beautiful Saisons and never moved on. And here I am doing that same show again. I got to be better than this.
Yeah. Well, I guess that was quite a few years ago. And I think since then, our lager production has gone up. We're pretty much an even split between our single yeast strain farmhouse ales, our mixed fermentation, barrel-aged farmhouse ales, and lagers. So lagers have come up to be about a third of our production, which is really fun. We have a lot of dedicated tanks for it now, and they're really developed and evolved with our quality program. We have labs at both of our production facilities, which is really cool. Up at the brewery, we're, you know, testing for HLP to make sure our beers are clean versus down in Portland at our barrel facility, we're testing to make sure that the microbes are
there.
It's a pretty funny back and forth. Just because the reactions when you see growth in a media test tube is usually, as a brewer, you're like, oh shit. But in Portland, we're actually counting and wanting those colony forming units. But Oxbow, it's really a great place. I think with COVID, our team has come together more so than usual. Because we're pretty, as you mentioned earlier, we spread our beer around the world, really. And with that is a lot of travel for myself, for the owner, Tim, for really the whole team. Is usually there's someone on the road or multiple people on the road doing festivals or sales or events here and there. And really since March, no one's traveling. Everyone is one concise, tight team, and it's really cool to be part of.
Yeah.
With that, everyone is working. We're all working our butts off and packaging beer every day. Sometimes both locations were packaging beer on the same day, which has been a new challenge for us.
Yeah.
But it's really cool. We have more beer than ever in cans and bottles, and it's a cool time because, you know, draft beer is awesome and fun. But I think when you put the beer in the package, it really brings it to life. It gives it a new, you know, character or caricature, if you will. And I think besides trying to make our beer taste really good, we're really lucky to have the artistic and creative team behind these beers. I think our labels are among the most beautiful in the beer world, really. And I just feel lucky to do our part and try to make the beer stand up to how good they look once they're packaged.
Yeah. Awesome. That hell all sounds yeah. neat. What did you say, Cass?
I said, hell yeah. Cass is texting me pictures of the Oxbow beers that he's currently drinking behind the scenes.
Oh, nice.
Cass, this is
how he gets
these?
Back at us for, you know, what was that, Augie?
Do they use you?
Of course. Do they use you? We're there every week.
I think it's really using him as much as
Cass allows it to happen. But yes.
Cass, thanks for sharing with all
consensual
of us,
Cass.
That you do this with every week and having the foresight.
I think one cool thing I do want to throw in with that, just to give a little more specific, is over COVID, we did install a canning line at our at our barrel facility, which is where we're packaging all of our farmhouse ales, both clean and mixed fermentation. Farmhouse ales are packaged there.
Why would you really hurt Cass that way?
Fucking Cass. Nobody likes you, buddy. It's like all any of us do is aspire to get rid of you.
We're still canning the lagers.
So far.
Mike, you want to break his heart on the show right now?
Mike, you want to tell him? Give him his window?
What's that?
How long Cass has left in the lager business in Maine?
No, I can't do it.
I'm not telling you what to do, Cass. But
no, we're doing. So in New, we do have two facilities and they're an hour apart. So we are using we outsource our canning to an amazing company that we love very much and dearly, and we can 30 barrels of lager every week with them. Then in Portland, we are canning our own farmhouse sales there in 12-ounce cans. And the coolest thing there is we do 100% canned conditioning right in the 12-ounce cans, which is really fun and cool and opening up a lot of avenues and allowing us to go back and kind of resurrect some past brands that we've done in the, you know, over the years. We're like, hey, that would be a sweet 12-ounce can. So that's been really fun.
Tell me about that, because we have this one beer we make, and we would make more, but this is the problem. I make it specifically for cask ale. It's called Don't Panic. It's just a little ESB that we put some bergamot in, and we just brew it in small amounts, and we cask it, send it to the three New Jersey bars with casks, and then we keep it in our own tasting room. But with the tasting room being in such a weird limited capacity, there's been no justification for making it.
Yeah.
So we often discuss, well, if we could can condition it and hit a good like 3.5 vol or something, you know, appropriate to the beer, then we could do some can runs and it'd be fine. But for some reason, I'm terrified of the idea of can conditioning. I don't know if it's because Sierra had to go through figuring it out, but talk me through it. Are you just treating it like it's like a cask? Or are you just putting some amount of priming sugar, canning, and leaving the cans in a warm room for 6 weeks? Like, how do you do it?
Exactly. I mean, in Portland, we don't have any glycol or even CO2, really. We try not to use CO2. We use nitrogen for everything because we are dealing with flat product, and nitrogen is way more environmentally friendly and less expensive. Yeah. But so we're very
do you
versed.
Still buy it from a company, or are you somehow stealing it from the environment?
We will be stealing it from the environment very soon. We just upgraded our air compressor capacity I love this thing. It really makes me happy because it doesn't make you deaf and it makes really clean compressed air. And for a while there, we were running like 3 or 4 air compressors to do everything we needed. And now we have one centralized, amazing one with distribution piping going around the warehouse. And it's really, the things that make you smile in the brewery are pretty amazing. And that keeps a smile on my face.
And it's funny how many have to do with either temperature or noise.
Right. Yeah. So this thing's great, but you can really feed it into a nitrogen generator filter because you're already starting with the amount of pressure and clean, dry air. So that feeding into a filtration nitrogen generator eliminates the need to then buy another air compressor and a bigger storage tank for that nitrogen. So that's going to be a project we're likely going to tackle really soon. Just to keep, obviously it's going to pay for itself pretty fast, but also
no doubt.
Mm-hmm. Keep committed to the environmental endeavors and as everyone knows, or everyone should know, CO2, there's a huge shortage of CO2 right now. Prices are going through the roof and availability is going down. So,
yep. That's cool. Yeah, good for you.
But to answer your question,
I was going to say, you told me nothing about can conditioning.
So, yeah.
You're making me buy more shit for the brewery, obviously, which somehow these shows always do. But,
The amazing thing is all of our carbonation is 100% created in the package for all of our farmhouse sales, which is really quite amazing. So I think we're really good at bottle conditioning and keg conditioning and now can conditioning. And yep. they all follow the same process. It's just ensuring that you're going to add a level of sugar that that package can handle and the beer can be served safely and appropriately.
Yeah, it's funny. I have no issue bottle conditioning, but can conditioning, I'm like, not until I can focus, you know, X amount of time on making sure I know every single aspect of it. Where bottle conditioning, I was like, come on, everybody knows how to bottle condition. We're all home brewers. Do that shit.
Yeah, well, that's the same principles. I think, you know, one beautiful thing about bottle conditioning, especially using some nice glass, is you can really push those volumes of CO2 up into the amazing levels that make a Saison sing, you know, the really yeah. high carbonation, get that nice spritz. Whereas cans, you do have to be a little more restrained. You know, the
PS- as long as people want can shaped cans.
Yeah. yeah well, no footballs.
We had a drunk operator hit a button on a nitro can we did once, and somehow of like 6,000 cans, 500 got extra dose of nitro in them. And I did all the labs, made sure everything was fine, but there were about, I don't know, call it 200 cases out in the world of this over nitroed beer. And I, you know how you panic when something like that happens. I had every lab test, everything. Actually, I think my good friend here, Brian, sent some magic goose magic testing things so we could test everything. We're like, all right, it's all safe, they won't even pop, but they're all going to be misshapen. So I had to make this big press release. I was like, it is safe, it'll actually be even more carbonated for you, which I'm sorry, nitrogenated for you, which I hope you like, but if you want a can shaped can, I understand that, and you're welcome to get a hold of me. We'll make it right. And of course, Facebook decided I was a douchebag for calling it a can-shaped can. But I was like, I was trying to, like, I understand that people should be able to hold a can and not have this weird, you know, deformity on its bottom or top. I thought I was expressing it concisely, but I got it wrong again.
It's hard being anyway, you.
It's hard being me.
So all of our, just to make it back on us,
yeah.
to answer your question, obviously it's pretty scary working with packaging mixed fermentation beers, and even our single yeast strain farmhouse ales are with a very prominent diastaticus yeast strain. So this stuff, you have to predict what where it's going to end. You know, brewers use the term terminal gravity. We don't even use that term for our farmhouse sales. We've developed, I don't know if anyone else uses it, but we use AFG instead of final gravity. It's anticipated final gravity, because we want to know where that beer is going to be in 6 months, a year from now. And that's been
kind of
the variable that, you know, over the years has kind of been guess and test, but we've developed a system. We have a lot of heat stir plates where we do force ferments on all of our batches previous to packaging. Even our single yeast strain beers we'll do that with. Just to give it is the kind of the crystal ball and gives us a little confidence to do the math using a number that we feel better about, rather than just pulling it out of the air and saying, yeah, it'll, you know, go to zero sugars. But a lot of these beers go into the negatives, and you know, they're super dry, well attenuated beers. So
yeah, you guys do a dry beer. Last question, while we're on this topic, the cool ship is still there and still working as it should, right? Are you packaging any of those beers in cans?
No, we are not. Well, we're not packaging any of that. We are purposefully there is a caveat there.
Cass got so excited.
So in the over harvest season here in September, we do make some single yeast strain farmhouse ales using wet hops, and our cool ship is what we use as a hop back for those.
Gotcha.
Beers.
Gotcha.
So we're not
that's
using
the old chief
traditional
trick.
Cools. Yeah.
That's the
totally.
Old chief trick. You're just pushing it through quick with hops there.
It's out of laziness too, because our cool ship is outside, so it's very easy to fill it with hops, and then we can easily just scoop them out into compost totes and off to the next beer.
I just imagine you were just tipping it to the left and just letting the bees live on it for a couple of days.
Yeah, I don't know. We've had a couple cold nights in Maine, so the bees are already going into hibernation.
Is that right?
Yep.
Well, all right, man. I think we've hit most of the important topics. I'm glad you came on. Sorry it took us 4 years to get you back, but I'm glad you're here. And it sounds like you're doing great. And I love that, you know, if you're somebody who has the right ambitions for the long game, patient, tasty beer thing, this year doesn't seem to have impacted as much as some of the rest of us. So that's a promising thing for an agrarian approach to small craft in America.
Totally.
Hey, Kennedy, can you literally nail the almost perfect Kennedy show with a letter?
Yeah, I got a letter for you. Hold on.
Holy shit. Jesus fucking Christ. He got it all right today. Somebody write this down. Which episode number is this?
I don't know what this is going to be. 291 or something?
All right. Well, wow. 291 is the time Kennedy fucking showed up. He knew everything about every beer. The
He's
beers
here to
were
shine.
In everybody's hands. He's got a letter. He literally was only 5 seconds behind on the biggest announcement of the year.
I went so you guys can hear what's going on outside my apartment right now.
Do you know Catherine from Blind Tiger?
Madness, so I'm really distracted.
I understand. Catherine from Blind Tiger texted me in the middle of all this and asked if I could hear the noise that just came out of Manhattan all the way across here. And I was like, Catherine, I've got my noise canceling headphones on because I'm very focused on like 5 and Oxbow, but record it for me and send it to me later. All right, so read this letter, Kennedy, my man.
All right, Jared M. says, my main man, Kennedy, what's good? Since one of the main themes of STB is place, when and where you're drinking the beer in front of you, I'm curious to hear what type of beer you all reach for during the holiday cooking and eating season. Anything different here due to COVID and smaller gatherings? Not that anyone asked, but I always find myself grabbing a case of Celebration.
Yeah. I mean, Celebration is, for me, this time of year is pretty much on the back porch in its 12 pack box. Well, all of them, actually. I have,
so fancy.
But that's just, that's just a great beer to have on the back porch and to, reach in while you're cooking or just have around, and, it's special this time of year. So, that's sort of my go-tos here in Celebration, for the month of November.
What about you, Fav? What are you drinking around the Thanksgiving, Christmas, Hanukkah holidays?
Yeah, I usually go in the cellar and I try to pick out at least 12 bottles of vintage beer. Because you do have people over, friends over, and it stylistically it certainly varies. Some other factors might be what I'm trying to rotate through, but there's definitely some strong beers in there. And then aside from that, my family does like to drink, and I try to keep it somewhat cool on the ABV level, so because it's not uncommon to put a few back at these holiday gatherings, and too much Christmas cheer is never a good thing if you have to drive or. So, I do look for those lower ABV lagers because they're easy to share with people. A nice 10 Plato Czech lager in cans is kind of like the godsend for keeping everyone on the level and making everyone happy, and everyone can drink the same beer and think it's really delicious. And you don't have to go in and explain what mixed fermentation is, but then you give them, get them loose on a couple of those. And then you pop the nice corked and cage, the 750, and there's smiles all around. So
nice.
Definitely getting into New Year's as you approach the New Year's is I reach for a lot of spontaneous beers for sure. Lambics for sure.
Right on. Yeah, I don't bring things to people's house. I drink what I'm served.
But you have the cooler in the trunk of the car, right?
No, I don't. I even my family, like when they come over here, they don't get to tell me what they want to drink. And when I go over there, I don't tell them what I want to drink. You know what I mean? Like it's just I drink what I'm served everywhere. Like when I go to Miller Lite friends' houses, I drink their Miller Lite, or I don't drink. I don't know. And the thing for me is I don't host the holidays. I get like Mother's Day. You know what I mean? I do. Mm-hmm. I do those ones. Let's call them the shoulder holidays. I've got a sister that is Thanksgiving, a mother who is Christmas, and that just doesn't vary. So I'm always a guest. Right. So I never really think about it. I'm often drinking my own beer I brought to whatever the last time they invited me over to bring beer is, and then they never drank it. So sometimes it's just a QAQC experiment for Carton where I'm like, huh, if I leave this in mom's, you know, my mom's house was rebuilt in the 70s. So it's got that obligatory closet bar. So I can tell you what a closet stored boat is like for any 18 month period. All right, dude. Five, thanks for getting on with us. You sound great. You sound like an affirmation of the fact that as crazy as all this feels, it might not be all that crazy. That people doing the right thing at the right pace are still okay. So thank you. So it's Cass's turn. Cass, how do they get those beers from Fava you have, and how do they give Paul money so that he has a case of Celebrator in every state?
You can donate to us, patreon.com/stealthisbeer. Follow us at Steal This Beer on the Fache Libro, Instagram, Untapped, sometimes Twitter. Thank you for those at Patreon. Thank you, Fava, for coming on and blessing the world with delicious lager and farmhouse beer.
It's a pleasure. It makes me happy. I hope it makes other people happy. So.
Yeah, it does.
Delights us.
Yes.
Obviously, if you go to Maine, you must go to all three Oxbow locations because they all have something to offer.
Let's not forget Little Grove. That's my new favorite brewery.
Yeah. Campfire. Yeah, Campfire Amplifier.
All right. You guys, thanks so much. Hang in there, get at us, and we'll talk to you all soon.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers.